Well, I want to talk about something this morning that I think is important for each and every person. I want to start with a question today. Isn't it easy to get discouraged? I mean, it really doesn't take too much to get discouraged in this life. Disappointments happen. Expectations are frequently dashed for us, aren't they? People turn against us that we never dreamed would. Unexpected repairs and then unexpected expenses that follow those repairs. Discouragement is a formidable foe sometimes, isn't it? Discouragement. And you know, as Christians, there is an added internal struggle that often we face. The struggle that the Apostle Paul had, where the things that he wanted to do, he didn't do, and the things that he didn't want to do, he ended up doing. And Paul talked about that struggle. How many know the struggle that Paul described? We find ourselves kicking ourselves, don't we? Because instead of following God, we followed our own selfish desires, and it got us into trouble, didn't it? And so we walk around in guilt, we walk around in condemnation because the things that we wanted to do, we didn't do, and the things we didn't want to do, we ended up doing. And so there's that internal struggle, and then there are outside forces against us, aren't there, that contribute to discouragement, that come against us to discourage us. You know, there's a story told of Satan who advertised his tools for sale at a public auction. And when the prospective buyers assembled, there was one oddly shaped tool which was labeled not for sale. And when he was asked to explain, Satan was asked to explain why this tool was not for sale, he answered in this way. He said, "I can spare my other tools, but I cannot spare this one. It's the most useful implement that I have. It's called discouragement. And with it, I can work my way into hearts otherwise inaccessible. And when I get this tool into a man's heart, the way is open to plant anything there I may desire." Discouragement. And you know, this story really illustrates a very a real truth that discouragement leaves one open to the assault of the soul. The assault of the soul. And there are many direct and indirect attacks of our enemy Satan, but it could be that he tries to bring discouragement on each one of us the most. Discouragement. And the reason being that discouragement, it takes us out of the game of faith. Discouragement takes us out of the game of serving other people. Discouragement takes us really out of the game of life. Discouragement. And I don't know about you, but I can get all the encouragement I can get, right? I want all the encouragement I can get. And today, this is not just a message for fathers. This is not just a message for men today, but this is a message that we all can benefit from. It's a message on encouragement. And so I want to pray and turn to your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and let's talk about encouragement today. Let's get encouraged. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence. Your presence is here. We love your presence. We long for your presence. We long for more of your presence. And so, God, I'm asking that your holy, powerful, merciful presence would come and just permeate this place, God. Use the Word of God. Let it be what it is, which is alive. and powerful. And let it be powerful in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, the scripture says these words: "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Encourage one another. See to it, brothers," the scripture says, "that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart, but encourage one another." And I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. In your Bibles, just turn over a couple pages. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 24. It's a familiar verse, but I think it's an important verse as we consider encouragement today. And it goes like this: "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Encourage one another. And we're going to stop with those two passages, and those two passages are going to form the foundation of what we want to talk about today. And it's easy to see that there's one common word, right? There's one common thread in these particular passages. Encourage. Encourage. Who needs encouraged today, right? Who wants to be encouraged? Who wants to stay encouraged? Yeah. We are to encourage each other, one another. In fact, these passages of Scripture are written in such a way that you could say that it's part of our job description as a Christian to be encouragers. That encouragement is to be one of our top priorities. That we are to make it our priority to encourage each other in the church and even those outside the church. I like what there's a gentleman by the name of George Adams who wrote these words. He said, "Encouragement is oxygen to the soul." Right? How many have received a timely, encouraging word at just the right moment? Right? At just the right moment, somebody came and encouraged you, and it was just like, it just lifted your heart. It lifted your spirits. Encouragement. Encouragement. And Hebrews tells us that we are to think, we are to consider how we can spur each other on to love and good works. And you know, spurring kind of smarts a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not a really horse kind of guy, but I know a spur is kind of sharp. I mean, when you're spurred, you know it, right? If you get spurred, you're not going to say, "Well, what was that?" Right? You're going to know it, that you were spurred. But you know, one translation says it this way. One translation says, "And let us consider one another." Consider one another. In order to stir up love and good deeds. To stir up love and good deeds or works. Now, there's a reason that we're told to do this, I believe, and considering one another. Considering one another has got to be a purposeful act. Because acts of kindness don't come naturally to us. We're conditioned to stay in our own little world, aren't we? We're conditioned to take care of myself. Take care of myself. Think about myself. Look out for myself, right? And so we need to consider one another. Consider the person next to you. Consider the person down the row. Consider the person way across the other side of the room. To consider them, to purposely consider them with the purpose of encouraging them. Now, but I want us to take this word a layer deeper, just another layer deeper, because the Greek word spur or stir up is translated into English paroxysm, which means a convulsion. That's a little more than just spurring, isn't it? That's a little more than a poke. That's a little more than just stirring just a little bit. That's something a lot more violent. This is a strong command. This is not a suggestion, right? This is not just, you might want to consider doing this. No, this is a command, right? We are to have a tremulous impact on each other's lives as believers. A convulsion of encouragement, right, towards one another. Tremors of encouragement. That's how our lives should be. And so, and Paul saw the value of encouragement. He saw it. In fact, he spoke to the Roman Christians, and he said in the very beginning of his letter to the Roman Christians, he says, "I long to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." You read that? That you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And you know, in fact, many of the churches that he planted, they were suffering, right? They were under the weight of persecution, and they needed encouragement to continue to be strong, to continue to have a strong faith in Jesus. It's not that they, you know, needed that occasionally. They needed tremors of encouragement all the time, or they were going to just give it up, the faith. Because so many were opposed to them. And so notice for what Paul says. Notice that Paul, mutual encouragement was important. Mutual. Everybody say mutual. Of overhaul. I knew somebody was going to say it. Paul wasn't the only one giving encouragement. Think about this. He was receiving it as well. We pray for those who are going. We committed to doing this, remember? We pray for those who are going to whatever site they're going to. We pray that you give them wisdom, guidance, strength as they go. We pray for those who are maybe needing help, in Jesus' name. You know, so Paul... Where were we? He received encouragement, not just gave it. He received it. Paul, the apostle, received encouragement. Right? And I think this is so important because we have this mindset so often that when we're facing difficult circumstances, we're going to just tough it out. Right? I'm okay. How you doing? I'm all right. I'm okay. How's it going? Fine. I'm doing fine. No, you're not, right? And so, but you know, the Apostle Paul, he found himself in a place where he needed encouragement. And so he looked forward to getting together with the Christians in the church in Rome and in other places where he planted churches, because he knew that his faith would be strengthened by spending time with the other Christians. And he would receive encouragement. And so as anointed and as brilliant as Paul was, the Apostle Paul needed other people to encourage him. And so I want to stop, just right, just let's just stop. I want to say something personal to you. When we gather, everyone can give and receive. Do you hear me? Give and receive. Everyone should be giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. Just say it. Giving, receiving. Giving, receiving. And let me just say this too. There are a few of you maybe that might be here who think that you have nothing to offer spiritually to another person. And I just want to say it's absolutely not true. You have something to offer in the way of encouragement to another person here. Don't ever think you have nothing to give by means of spiritual encouragement. You can be an encourager. You can be a giver as well as a receiver. And you know what? It may be more difficult for us to be receivers than it is givers. Huh? For some of you, it's really difficult to receive. Giving, not a problem. Receiving, you really struggle with that. But God wants to really minister to that part of you and all the reasons why you can't receive encouragement from other people. And he wants you to experience a breakthrough so that you can receive from the Lord through the life of another Christian. Amen? Just turn to somebody and say, you can be an encourager. I beg you. No, I'm just kidding. What I want to do, though, I want to finish our time by answering the question, how? How can we encourage one another? And I want to give all of us a few ways this morning in which we can encourage each other. And the first one is this. First of all, we can be encouraged by the example of others. Amen? Paul wrote to Rome, to the Christians there, and he says, first of all, I thank my God through Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. And to the church in Thessalonica, he says, therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. Because of your faith. Now, we could take this a couple different directions. One, we can, by the example of our own faith and our own devotion to Jesus Christ, we can encourage somebody else just by our own example of faith. I mean, if you're going to be looked up to, why not let it be for the quality and the depth of your spiritual life? I mean, if you have to be looked up to, let it be for that. True? Or two, we can draw strength and we can draw inspiration from somebody else's faith walk. It could inspire us. And I've said to several of you on more than one occasion, you're my hero. You're my hero. The way that you've persevered or endured circumstances in your life and kept on top of those and maintained your faith. You're my hero in the faith. I mean, we want to be able to say about another person, now that is a Christian that I want to emulate their life. I want to have that kind of faith. I want to be like that person, right? I want to be like her. I want to be like him. I want to possess that kind of faith. I want to emulate that person. And so we can be encouraged. How many are encouraged by the example of others? Their faith, right? You've had a long-standing relationship with them, friendship with them, and you've seen them go through some stuff, right? And they went through it well, with faith intact. They went through it well, with faith intact. And you was like, man, that's encouraging. If they can do it, I can do it, right? If they can walk through that, whatever I'm walking through, I can walk through it and come out on the other side, still full of faith. Yeah. How many have two or three people like that in here? Right? Yeah. And so we can be encouraged by the example of others, but more than that, we can encourage others by our example of faith and the way that we live our lives. And we ought to be doing that. How many believe that? Right? Secondly, we gain encouragement by the words of other people, by the words of others. 1 Thessalonians 5, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Right? Encourage one another, build up each other. How do you do that? Verbally. That's the way you do it. You've got to do it verbally. Build each other up verbally. Encourage each other verbally. You know, back in the day, I hate to say that. This really ticks me off that I have to say that now. Now, 40 years ago, I participated in track in high school, and I started out running the 100 meters and the 200 meters. And my second year, my coach, Fred Kinder, some of you might know who he is, he suggested that I try the 400 meters, right? He said, Vernie, why don't you try the 400 meters? And I said, yeah, sure, why not? I later found out that was a huge mistake. The 400 meters is one lap sprint around the track, all right? You run as fast as you can for an entire lap. Who invented that race, right? I'm thinking, so, you know, I started to train and I ran that race. And some of you remembered me running the race, right? So don't say how good or bad I did. All right? But when you run that race, all right, one lap around the track. You ever seen the track? You see, you got a football field in the middle, track around it, right? That's 400 meters. When you run this race, about the 300-meter mark, which is coming right out of the third turn, you hit something. It's called the wall. The wall. And wouldn't you know it, the way that they built that football stadium, the wind, notoriously, was right in your face when you went around that third turn, and you hit the wall. And 400 meters is not a long race. And I thought, you know, wow, you know, if I could do 100 meters, I could do 200. 400 is just a couple of hundred more meters. That's not too bad. That's not too long, right? And I thought, 400 meters, that's not a long race until you reach the wall. And then it becomes a very, very long race. And your whole body suddenly screams at you, stop, right? And you have 100 meters. You just got a fourth of the race left. You got 100 meters left. Your legs are burning. Your chest is burning. Your chest is heaving. Your throat burns. Your eyes are watering. Your arms feel like lead. Your head starts to pull back. The veins are popping out of your neck. Right? Your jaw's tightening up. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Your whole body revolts. And it's not a pretty sight, right? I mean, if you had a picture of the 400-meter race and you took a picture, a little picture right around the third turn of all the those who were in that race, it would be ugly. You'd see some faces that you didn't think people could make those faces. All right. And right at the third turn, there's a point to my story. At right around the third turn, this is when your track mates are the most valuable. You see, when you run this race, you don't need anyone at the start to encourage you. Because the start of the race, you're ready, you're focused, you got energy, right? And you have a good start. You don't need any encouragement at the start of your race. And you don't need anyone on the backstretch to encourage you because you're feeling really good on the backstretch and you're moving pretty quickly and it feels pretty exhilarating to be on the backstretch of the 400 meters. And it's a great feeling on the backstretch, all right? But when you come out of the third turn, you're saying to yourself, you are an idiot. Who talked you into this race? And this is the truth. I'm really telling you the truth. Often, it was the encouragement of my teammates on the infield on the third turn that helped me push through the pain to the finish. You could hear them shouting, "Relax. Use your arms. Come on. You can do it. Push. Drive to the end. You can finish it. You're doing great. Keep on moving. Keep going." All right? If it wasn't for my teammates, you feel like just stopping right there. Stop. And not finishing the race. Can I tell you that a word of encouragement offered at the right moment, at the right time, can be the difference between finishing well and collapsing along the way spiritually? A word of encouragement at the right moment can mean the difference between finishing well or finishing poorly in your faith race. And it seems like here of late that even prominent Christian leaders are not finishing well. They're finishing poorly. Could it be that they didn't receive an encouraging word at the right moment that would have kept them from falling or stopping or collapsing along the way? But you know what? So often, though, we don't walk up to the edge of the infield to encourage somebody. And I think that part of the reasons why we don't we're not so quick to encourage another person is that we're influenced by culture, which says that the hero, the strong person, is supposed to be silent and self-sufficient and able to absorb all the blows. That's right. And so we think we have to be this way, and we most certainly think that others should be that way. Come on, suck it up. Don't be a sissy. No pain. Get over it. You're overreacting. Pick yourself up. Move on. Quit being a baby. This kind of mentality keeps us from walking up to the infield and encouraging another person. Because we think we're supposed to just be the tough person. And, you know, we expect that others are supposed to respond and to do the same thing. And that it shouldn't need encouragement. Shouldn't need encouragement. But I want to tell you today that we need to always be looking around us. Always. Because at any given moment, there is someone who has hit the wall. At any given moment, there is someone who has hit the wall. And they are struggling spiritually, and they have fallen back, and they look like they're about to drop out of the race. And they're hurting. And they're weak. And they're about to make a poor decision or a poor choice. Or just to give up on faith altogether. And we need to be sensitive about that. We need to know that there is always someone who's hit the wall. They've hit the wall. Everybody hits the wall at some point. Everybody. And we need to be sensitive to each other's need for encouragement and to be supportive with our words and our actions. Again, the writer of Hebrews tells us to do this. And it says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily. As long as it's called today. So that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so words are important, right? We always learn this in a negative way, right? Sticks and stones. You know that one? But words are powerful. Encouraging words at the right moment can allow you to have the strength to get through the race, to get through that troubling time, to get through that circumstance, to get through that loss, to get through the grief, to get... You with me? We can be encouraged by others' example. We can encourage by our example. We can encourage with our words. And finally, we can encourage each other with our physical presence. Our physical presence. Right? Hebrews 10, we read it earlier. We read it at the beginning. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us, encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, there's something that happens to our souls and an uplift. Our hearts receive a surge, a convulsion, right, of an encouragement when we gather here together and join up to worship God. Have you felt it? If not, let's check your pulse. Just kidding. There's nothing more encouraging to me than being in the middle of the buzz of fellowship right before the worship service begins. All right? There's this crescendo of joy and laughter and compassion and consoling. There's this playful bantering that you hear between people. There's this feeling of expectation. You know what I'm talking about? How many know what I'm talking about? Right before the service even starts, all right, there's stuff going on, right? You can just feel it. You can feel it, right? Encouragement is bouncing around when the church gathers. You don't look as excited as me about it. I'm going to say it again. Encouragement is bouncing when the church gathers, and often we've downplayed numbers, and we have offset our discouragement on a Sunday morning by saying, well, the Lord had who he wanted. well, the Lord had who he wanted. No, he didn't. No. No. No, he didn't. Right? He wanted everyone there. But some just chose not to come. They decided to stay in bed or go to breakfast or do yard work or go golfing. I mean, I'm not personally trying to meddle. Well, the Lord had who he wanted. It's hogwash. We do that to try to make ourselves feel better and so we're not discouraged. I think a study should be done, that someone should do a study on the correlation between positive feedback on a service and attendance. All right? People always say, man, that was a great service. Oh, man, that was a wonderful service. We hear this not often enough, but we hear it. All right? But, you know, I think you would find that it is more mentally, emotionally, spiritually encouraging to people when there are 95 people in the room versus 72 people in the room. Just showing up is like a shot of encouragement to the other people sitting around you. I mean, just showing up. You don't even have to open your mouth. You don't even have to raise your hand in worship. You don't even have to sing. Just you showing up brings encouragement to the person that's sitting next to you or down the row. You may have not have thought of it that way. You see, for many people, coming to church is strictly a personal thing. They're not coming for other people. They're coming for themselves. I'm coming for myself. I come to church for myself. We hear this. I come to church. I'm coming to get personally uplifted. I'm coming for my own spiritual growth and advancement. And then they'll tack this on. Besides, I really don't have much to offer. I'm just coming for myself. But I want to say that just by your physical presence, just by walking through the door, you have the ability to bring encouragement. Your presence changes the atmosphere of the entire morning. The entire morning. And well, that's all we want to say about that. That's all we want to say. I want to finish with this. I want to ask you some things today just to zero this in, just kind of to funnel it down for you, maybe in a personal way. Dads, let's talk about dad. Let's talk to dads. Dads, when is the last time your son or daughter heard some complimentary or encouraging words from you? Don't answer it out loud. Grandparents, how often do you encourage your grandchildren? I know we have some there. I'm a pawpaw. Moms, how much praise are you offering your child? Those of you who have brothers or sisters, when is the last time you told them that you are proud of what they've done or accomplished? When is the last time that you verbally encouraged someone in this room? Yeah. You sensed they were struggling in the race of faith, and you came alongside of them, and you opened your mouth, and you began to encourage them. When's the last time that you personally encouraged somebody in this room? When is the last time that you told your friends Thank you for being such great friends. Married couples, can't let you off the hook. Do you offer more encouragement than criticism? No elbowing. And answer it for yourself. All right? Do you offer more encouragement than criticism? When is the last time, let's ask this, when is the last time you swallowed your pride and confessed your discouragement to somebody else? And when is the last time you humbled yourself enough to ask for prayer or maybe even respond to a prayer invitation that we've offered and always offer? God wants us to be encouraged by the example of others, and He wants us to encourage others with the example of our lives. Amen? God wants us to give encouragement and receive encouragement. That's number two. How do we encourage? God wants us to encourage one another by our physical presence. Amen? Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. What is today? Today. Right? You only get one today. There's only one today. When are you to encourage one another daily? Today's a good day, right? Today. We only have one today to encourage each other. Only one day, and it's called today. Amen? God bless the men today. Bless the fathers. Bless the grandfathers. Bless all the men, Lord, those who one day will be fathers. We pray that they would be encouragers. We pray for all of us that we would see it as our duty, as our responsibility to be an encourager. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are discouraged today and you need prayer, after we dismiss, I just invite you to come and some can pray with you. If not, enjoy your day. Amen? Be encouraged. See the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. Yeah.